May the name of Jesus be lifted up above all names, that men might be drawn unto him, souls saved, lives changed. These things I thank you for and I praise you for. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, Good Shepherd, we're going to continue in our series on the life and times of the prophet Elijah. We're going to talk about the life and the times of the prophet Elijah. And we're in part two of that series. And as part two of that series, I came up with the title of High Noon in the House of God. High Noon in the House of God. Now that, on top of being part of what the scripture is, that title comes from a classic cowboy western movie from 1952. Now, I call it a classic cowboy movie, and I want y'all to be careful what you classify as a classic movie. See, because as a parent, you have to qualify as to, was it a classic before you were walking with the Lord, or was it a classic after you were walking with the Lord? See, because at the Milbury house, we've had some embarrassing moments with my children about movies that I had seen before I was walking with the Lord. And I say, y'all got to see this. This is a classic. You just got to see this. You won't believe this. It's a classic. And so I gathered my family around for this classic movie. And then you start seeing debauchery, immorality, words that you didn't hear the first time because it didn't bother you. Because you were using those words, so it didn't bother you. And I'm sitting there, and I keep at the time, we had a VCR, and they don't fast forward as fast as the CDs. And I'm like, well, wait, y'all, wait, we'll get to the good part. Went through the whole movie in about 20 minutes looking for the best part of the classic. And I found out that the classic was not really a classic. So I caution you on that. When you're telling your kids, you got to see this, it's a classic. But this movie that we're talking about now, High Noon, it was a movie called High Noon. It was done in 1952, and it was starring a gentleman named Gary Cooper. And Gary Cooper was this tall, slim, handsome cowboy guy, and he was playing the part of a man named Sheriff Kane. And Sheriff Kane had gotten married to a pacifist woman. And you got to specify woman nowadays. He had gotten married to this pacifist woman named Amy. And what had happened was Sheriff Kane had put a guy named Miller in jail. Actually, Miller had gotten sentenced to be hung, but he got off on a technicality. And so since Miller got off on a technicality, he sent word to Sheriff Kane and the whole city that he felt they were the bad guys. They were the ones who were at fault for getting him put in jail and about to get him executed. So he sent word, you tell the sheriff, meet me in the middle of the street at high noon, and I'm going to settle everything. Well, Miller had his gang of hoodlums, his brother, his cousin, some other guys, and they're just waiting for him to come and get off the train. And the whole story is built around this. When he shows up, you see the tension just building and building. And so first Kane, Sheriff Kane, is going to leave town because his wife is saying, you got to go, you got to go. And he said, okay, I'm going to go. And then he decides, I got to be a man. Because he starts thinking about the other people in the town. And he starts thinking about, if I leave, that's going to leave Miller and his boys to just rape, pillage, plunder, take over everything. So Sheriff Kane goes back. Everybody in town knows that Miller is a bad man. He's gonna do what he threatened to do. And so little by little, high-ranking people started slipping out of town. And so Sheriff Kane is in a quandary because he's like, I come back to help the people because I see the evil and nobody else does. So Sheriff Kane even went and interrupted church. He went into the church house and said, y'all, there's a great evil coming. Miller got off on a technicality. He's going to come back and he's going to rape, pillage, and plunder this whole town. I need your help. Well, Sheriff, I'd like to help you, but. Sheriff, I'm with you, but. Sheriff, peace out. I'm catching the next thing smoking out of town. You're on your own. Well, as the movie goes, Sheriff Kane goes and he faces down Miller in the middle of the street. At high noon, he wins the gunfight. There's some other details, but bottom line, he wins. Now, back then, it was pretty easy to tell who was the good guy, who was the bad guy. Good guy wore white hat, bad guy wore black hat. Movies were very cut and dry. And don't forget, movies shape our thinking, no matter what you think, what you listen to and what you watch. Shape your thinking. Well, like I said, that was back when it was pretty cut and dry. You could see who was good, who was bad. But today, when you go to try to watch a movie, the lines are blurred. Sort of like what true Christianity is. The lines are blurred. I tried to watch a Transformer movie. I didn't know who was the good guy, the good robot, who was the bad robot. Couldn't tell. The lines are blurred. You go to try to watch Batman, The Dark Knight. The good guy is just as vile and vicious as the guys he's killing. The lines are blurred. So here's what we're going to do today. See, because we as the saints of God, we got to know exactly where we stand and why we stand, on what we stand. So we're going to go and we're going to take a look at an old account in the Bible so we can get a fresh perspective on just exactly what is good, what is evil, what is right, and what is wrong in the eyes of God. So today, we're going to be dealing with chapter 18 of the book of 1 Kings. Chapter 18 of the book of 1 Kings. We'll be kind of focusing in on verses 21 and 27, but it's chapter 18, verses 21 and 27. And verse 21 reads, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word." Verse 27. "And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. High noon in the house of God. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers and doers of his word. Amen." We talked about how Elijah, King Ahab, and Queen Jezebel had drawn the nation of Israel into deep, deep sin and rebellion to God. They had turned their backs pretty much on the true and living God, and now they were all worshiping Baal and Ashtoreth. Baal being the god of storms and the god of rain. There are many Baals, but the primary Baal was the god of storms and the god of rain. And Elijah had stepped forth. God had instructed Elijah to go and speak to Ahab. And he spoke to Ahab and he said to Ahab, because of the wickedness of these people, it will not rain until I say it rains. And the Bible tells us that they went for 3 years, about 3.5 years, with no rain. And now we get to chapter 18. There's a sore famine throughout the whole land. Samaria has been hit harder than any place else. And Samaria, by the way, is the home of Jezebel, who was the queen who had led the people into idolatry, but her weak-kneed husband had followed right along with it. So actually, he's the cause. And we begin with verse 1 of chapter 18. We begin with verse 1 with the topic or title, you might want to say, a heading of A Time to Confront Sin. Each and every one of us, especially those of us in the household of God, the Bible says you still have two natures. We fight with two natures. We still have that sin nature, but we have the holiness of God residing in us. And that old man, well, our nature has been changed, but we have that old man that we still have to contend with, that flesh that we have to contend with. And that flesh goes down really hard, really hard. And we have got to, at some point in time, the Bible says, reckon yourself to be dead. At some point in time, all of us who name the name of Jesus have got to stop saying, I just got to do me. At some point in time, those of us who name the name of Jesus has got to be willing to say, not my way, but your way, Lord. At some point in time, you got to stop saying, that's just who I am. You've got to be ready and willing to confront sin. And it's very painful oftentimes to confront sin. Now, we're willing to confront sin in other folks. But I want you to start with the sin in you, in me. Because once you start at home. And this, yourself is as much home as you can possibly get. Start with you, with the sin that's in you. And confronted, here's what he says in verse 1 of chapter 18. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Now these people are having this sore famine. And don't forget, the rain brings life. The rain brings life. No rain, no fruits, no vegetables, no crop. No life. And God has instructed, first God instructed Elijah to go into hiding. But now he says, Elijah, it's time for you to come up front and center and confront sin in the nation. I believe that God is calling out through our revivals and everything else. He's saying to the saints of God, it's time. It's time for us to confront sin in our nation, first in our own life, and then work your way out. A time to confront sin. Sometimes it seems like our nation, like the good folks, the righteous, the armies of God, are in retreat. It's like as if we don't even know what God has said for us to do. It's like, why don't we just have us a hallelujah time and come in and sing kumbaya, kumbaya, and just have a hallelujah good time and walk out the door and just let this world trample us? Case in point. June 25th, 1962. Supreme Court of the United States said from now on, you will no longer have prayer in school. And the church said, amen. June 22nd, 1973, Roe versus Wade, where abortion became legal in America. And the church said, amen. 1973, this is for all of y'all who have faith in psychiatry and psychology. I want y'all to listen real good. 1973, the American Psychiatric Association removes homosexuality from its official list of mental disorders. That's for those of you who want to take your kids to the shrink because you say you got problems. Will you take your kid to the shrinks and tell him that that's one of his problems? And they'll tell you that you got a problem. And the church said, amen. Because we flocked to those same counselors. May 9th, 2012, President Barack Obama endorses same-sex marriage. And the church said, amen. June 26, 2013, Supreme Court throws out DOMA, Defense of Marriage Act. Unless you think this is just an American problem, July 17th, 2013, Queen Elizabeth endorses same-sex marriage. And the church says, amen. These are all bad things. These are all very difficult, trying times and difficult situations. But you know what? I think when we get through this message, you're going to understand, I don't really want you to focus on those things. I really don't. See, because I believe that those problems came into play way before those dates. There was a thing in the Western civilization called the Age of Enlightenment. And it took place during the 17th and the 18th century. That means between 1600 and 1700. That's when this took place. When all of the elite intellectuals came together in the Western philosophy and said, you know what? We don't need that Bible anymore. We've got reason. We can think our way through everything. We don't need what thus saith the Lord. Now, Jesus out in the wilderness, when he faced the devil, Jesus had to say what thus is written. Jesus said, it is written. But no, we got beyond that. That's so paltry. That's so ignorant. We want to go with reason and logic and psychology. I think in the words of one of the more popular psychologists today, how's that working for you? Come on, church, how's it working for you? The church is in retreat. During the age of reason and the Enlightenment, so-called, men took the Bible and they sliced and they diced and they said, this part we believe, this part we don't believe, this we have to redefine, that we have to redefine, until they took the Bible and they made it into such a mishmash that you wouldn't hardly recognize it as the Word of God. And when the church is in retreat, the devil is on the move. And the things that I cited for you are just the result of the church going in retreat.